Am I coming loud and clear to you at the back? Can you hear me at the back? Sounds good up front here. What a wonderful buzz there is as we are into the Christmas season. I saw little Leah. Leah, I don't think that Leah is the youngest person here. I'm not sure if even little Marcus is the youngest person here, but Leah's mom told me that you don't have a Christmas tree at home, and that's why Leah was really keen to get into that Christmas tree behind me. But we really do want to welcome you, and it's good to see some familiar faces who are back home, which isn't always the case in a city like this. And then some new folk that I just met, perhaps you're here for the first time. So I met folk from Moldova, from the United Kingdom, from the United States, from South Africa. Any other countries? Have I missed out a country? Don't be shy. Belgium. Oh, Belgium. Of course, Belgium. How could I leave out Belgium? Romania? Any other countries?
Estonia.
Albania. Albania and Greece. Keep on going. Yeah, we really are an international church. what did I start? Now, I realize that for some of you in your particular culture, your evening meal is on Christmas Eve. And so we are trying to be very structured here, and we've organized a program that will hopefully run smoothly so that depending on how long the preacher preaches, we'll be out of here at just after 7. But if your big meal is tomorrow and you want to carry on in terms of fellowship downstairs, there's going to be refreshments, and we'd just love to have you there. Well, in a moment, we're going to sing. We love to sing, and Christians love to sing, and we're going to sing about having the appropriate emotions on Christmas Eve, this beautiful evening where we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. So we are going to sing about the fact that because Jesus was born, we need to be joyful and triumphant. Okay, so we need to sing with that spirit. Also, because God's Son became man, we don't have to guess about God's feelings. We don't have to guess about how He feels about us. We don't have to guess about His love that feels for His world. We don't have to guess about the joy that He wants to share with His world. So join with me as we pray, and then we're going to sing together our first carol. Let's pray together. God our Father, we're meant to stand in awe. Every other king that we know of was first a baby, then a king. You are and were a king before you became a baby. For you somehow the animals prepared a bed. For you the heavens shone brightly and the stars clapped their hands and the angels sang. For you shepherds stood watch, marveling at how small you seemed. For you wise ones would come running from the east, and when they saw you, they fell down on their knees, because you were Almighty God, and yet you were so vulnerable. You were God, and yet you had a soft spot on your head. God with Mary's milk on your breath, wrapped in swaddling clothes. God, creator of everything, yet born of flesh and blood to be with us. Thank you, Jesus, that because you came, hope is ours. Thank you that because you were born, peace is on the way. Thank you that sorrow has lost its grip. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. We praise you that light has come back into the world. We thank you that the darkness of despair and war and hurt and hate shall not overcome it. Tonight you are with us, and do we want to leave here in the same way? Do we not want to leave here being more tender, with more desire to protect the vulnerable, to soothe the pain of those who hurt, to befriend the lonely, to lift up the lowly, to live as your people, and to walk with you in love? For some here today, it's the first Christmas without a person they love deeply. And Lord, our hearts ache with them. And yet we pray that over this season you would remind them that not only do they have a great comforter, the best comforter in Jesus, but that this evening they are surrounded with family and friends who care. We pray for those who are on duty in this nation for our sake. We pray for our police force and the armed forces, emergency responders, and doctors and nurses who will be on duty. And then we pray for brothers and sisters all over the world, in many nations where Christmas cannot be celebrated openly. And we pray that they may know all the peace and all the joy and all the grace that they already experience with knowing and loving Jesus Christ. Come amongst us, we pray, this evening, and take your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together and sing our first song.
On this Christmas Eve, we light the final candle of Advent, the Christ candle. Only in Christ do we find all the hope, love, joy, and peace that we have come to know this season. We will soon see a glowing ring of 5 brilliant candles lighting the way to Bethlehem's Christmas gift, our promised Messiah. Listen to his word in John 8. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Do you have this light in your life this Christmas? What about your friends and your neighbors? Let us look around in our lives and relationships. May Jesus, the light of the world, guide and purify us now and forever.
The first reading, Gospel, for this evening is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, and Isaiah, chapter 9, from verse 1 to 7. And I'm reading it from the New International Version. Micah 5, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, and one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient time. Isaiah. Chapter 9, 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered and yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior both used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fueled for the fire. For to us as a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on hand forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that reading. Before we have the next reading where Kwabena Sefa will read for us, let's stand together and sing Once in Royal David City. That's in your bulletin as well. Have all the ladies, all the sisters sing for us, verse 2.
He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a song.
Brothers, let's join in singing, Jesus is our childhood's pattern.
Jesus is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like us he grew. He was little, weak and helpless. Tears and smiles, like us he for our sadness and
You may be seated. Thank you.
Good evening. Our next scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, from verses 1 to 20. Luke chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 20. Let's hear the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread a word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God.
Angels try.
That is just hot, meltingly delightful, isn't it? Yeah. What an amazing God that God can take a stranger and turn that stranger into a child of God. What a lovely reminder. Let's stand as we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. You will notice that we are singing many different languages here. So we're starting off with German, and then we go to Dutch, Flemish, and then French, and then we finish with English. Sorry about that for the Italians or the South Africans who speak some dialect of Afrikaans. So. Silent night.
Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht. the lights in the streets and the beautiful shop window displays and the candles make it so warm and cozy inside. And the smell of the Christmas tree and the presents underneath it. Oh, and of course, hot chocolate. How peaceful everything seems this time of year. With every
Breaking news, at least 22 people, mostly foreigners, have been killed in a bomb attack, and many are injured. The attacker was shot dead by officers after members of the public restrained him. The police have declared that the attack is a terrorist incident.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Oh, Comet, Christmas, I can't wait. Just for a moment, we can forget all the horrible things that are happening around the world. How shall I set the table? Perhaps some Christmas ornaments. Oh, look. Aren't these angels just adorable? And they match the chandelier perfectly. And I can use my new Christmas tablecloth. What are we having for Christmas dinner?
It's almost Christmas already. Time to shop for food. What shall I prepare for the big Christmas dinner? Can't do a stuffed turkey. Too many diets. Emmy is lactose intolerant, so no butter, no cream. Roast beef with a crust of nuts. Wait. Steve can't have nuts. Oh, yeah! I will prepare scallops. That is quite festive and also so delicious. Yummy! Wait. Dad does not like shellfish.
And Mary Louise is gluten-free.
Sur le long chemin, tout blanc de neige blanche, un vieux monsieur s'avance avec sa canne dans la main. Et tout là-haut, le vent qui siffle dans les branches lui souffle la romance qu'elle chantait petit enfant. Oh, vive le vent, vive le vent, vive le vent d'hiver. Qui s'en va sifflant, soufflant dans les grands sapins verts. Oh, vive le temps, vive le temps.
This is the last day I can shop for the big, the Christmas gifts. Luckily, we started early today. And I have most of my presents now.
Wait here for me.
I'd like an iPhone. And maybe a new handbag. Oh, and that necklace I've just seen. So beautiful. I do hope Santa knows.
Go quickly. Ooh, we still have to find a nice toolbox for Josh. I have looked everywhere.
Have you tried Hoover?
No more small ones.
Car for Hyper?
Not really practical ones.
What about Brico?
Of course, Brico! From yesterday. We were not able to deliver your parcel at your address. You can pick it up tomorrow at Parcel Point. Where is the address? Okay. Because of Christmas, early closing at 4 p.m.
That's yeah.
That is just one thing.
I have a question. Do you know why we celebrate Christmas?
Yes. It's to brighten up the cold, dark winter nights. We put up lights, we decorate our house. I love it.
Yeah, indeed. But I think it's more than that.
Do you mean baby Jesus? But that was such a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time, but his birth still means a lot to me. Are you also going to do one of those big dinners?
Definitely. With all the trimmings, it will be a 5-course dinner. I love to practice my cooking skills.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. What is the reason to do a 5-course dinner with all the trimmings on the 25th of December?
For some people, it had something to do with Jesus. But he died.
Well, he died, but he rose again. Well, that's why I'm here. He makes all my daily difference in my life. That's why he's worth a big dinner. I see you got some presents also.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to Christmas. I've got quite a lot on my wish list.
And spent quite a bit of money.
Yeah, money, I know. You know, Jesus is God's gift for us, but he's not like those gifts. He's for free. He's also for you. He's also for you. And he's also a gift for all of you. Jesus is born. He's a new king. Let us glorify the new king. Let us praise his name. He's totally for free. You just have to open your heart, and he will get in your heart. Merry Christmas, and merrily ever after.
Thank you.
if there's one thing that's obvious at every Christmas, it's that you don't have to be a Christian to have any fun. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. Look at any city throughout Europe, any town in Belgium or in your home country, and what do we see? Millions of people with no faith in Jesus, and what are they doing? They're simply having lots of fun. Now, of course, as we've just seen in the play, and well done to those who acted so wonderfully, not everybody receives pleasure in the same way. Now, I want to ask you today, what defines, everybody wants a perfect Christmas, right? What defines your perfect Christmas? For some, as we saw in the play, it's the beautiful fairy lights or the decorations, those lovely little angels that were held up for us. I went with a few folk to Braine-l'Alleud, not too far from Waterloo. Worth seeing the lights if decorations are your thing. But maybe they are your thing, and every year at the end of November, you find yourself twitching. You want the tree out and the tree up and the lights flashing. Perfect Christmas. Or maybe for you, perfect Christmas is family. And I don't want to decry the fact that to God, family is immensely important. But perhaps for you, Christmas is that one opportunity to spend time with those whom you love. And hopefully quality time. I trust there's going to be no arguing, at least in theory. Maybe for others, perfect Christmas, like Betty in the play, is a time to use your cooking skills and really produce something great coming out of the kitchen. You want everybody else out of the kitchen. Don't get in my way. Or maybe for you, it's eating. There's a guy in the United Kingdom who's made a name for himself. They call him Mr. Christmas because he celebrates Christmas every day. He's been doing it for 15 years. You can go and Google it or look on YouTube. He bought himself a Merc, and he's registered. The registration of the Merc is Mr. Christmas. He estimates that in the last 15 years, he has spent around £500,000. I'm not kidding. He's eaten at least 6,622 turkeys, splashed out in bottles of champagne. That's extreme, and we're laughing. But maybe for you, Christmas is just about eating, splashing out. Or maybe for you, it's just a question of, man, I've worked hard the whole year, and it's time for the big flop. The one day in the year, maybe you are not bothered by the office, so feet go up and Netflix movies are on. Whatever it is, I want you to see today that you don't need to be a Christian to have fun at Christmas. Well, I'm glad that the Bible speaks of God not as a killjoy, right? Not as some kind of mean Scrooge up there in the sky somewhere. He's the giver of joy, the giver of joy. So the birth of Jesus, his son, as the angels proclaimed, is good news that will cause great joy for all people. But hold on, you say. What's the difference between the happiness we can get from possessions and people and the joy that only the person of Jesus can give to us? According to the Bible, it's all about the depth and the duration of that pleasure. Unlike the lights which will come down, they will do in this church after a while. They'll come down in your home. Unlike the food that satisfies for a while, unlike the shopping that's got to be done, not just at Christmas, only Jesus can give a joy. Only Jesus. Hear me well. Hear me well. Only Jesus can give a joy that is deep and lasting. And every Christmas, God is saying to us, there's more on offer. More than the best gift you've ever received. A couple of weeks ago, a dear friend, and he's right here, unexpectedly gave me a little Nespresso machine, totally undeserved. more on offer, more than the joy of your greatest experience. You look at Facebook today and you could be forgiven for thinking that there's a competition on who's having the greatest experience in the greatest city. More on offer. More on offer than even the closest relationship you've ever had. There are a couple of people here, I'm conscious of that. And in this past year, you've lost someone who's very dear to you. And you feel the pain because that person was significant in your life. And we grieve. And we cry because we love. Just as the parents of the boys that were killed by Herod must have wept, just as Jesus would grow to be a man who feels and weeps when his friend Lazarus dies. But let's be honest, even the best relationship, your closest relationship here, speaks, it gives us a glimpse of something much greater. Could the shepherds going about their business, could they have grasped it? Good news that will cause great joy for all people. Joy in a new GPS so that we can find our sheep more easily? No. Joy in the experience even of the angels singing to you? One moment the sheep are bleating, the next the song of the angels in full stereo? No. No. Joy in the joy giver. The promised baby. A baby who will show us what God is really like. A baby who can give what only God can deliver. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And here's the point at which many of us may have to lose our traditions at Christmas. At least those traditions that may distract us from the true meaning and reconnect again with the story of the Bible. And I read beyond Luke 2 and verse 10 where the angels announce the joy to verse 11. Why this joy? Why? Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I'm not sure what comes into your mind when you hear the word Savior. I don't think that's so difficult for us to grasp. I saw Star Wars, the last Star Wars the other day with a couple of our young people. I actually saw the first one when it came out with my dad, and I missed a whole lot, and I saw the last Star Wars, and it's about a rescuing at the end of the day. It's about a savior. But hang on, the only people who need saving or rescuing are those who are in trouble and those who know it. I wanted you to take you with me to a warm country called South Africa. And a part of the world where we used to spend some of our vacations, thanks to my brother. It's a beautiful spot called Plettenberg Bay on the east coast. Neither Hanley or I are great swimmers, but we love to stroll on the beach. And on most of those beaches, it was of great comfort for those who do swim to know that there are lifeguards on platforms along the way. Now, in all my visits to the beaches in Plettenberg Bay, none of those lifeguards ever spoke to me, not because I am rude, I hope, or shy. Not even that they may be rude or shy. They may be, but that's not the reason. I'd never been in danger. But if a moment came when I was in the water and out of my depth, I'll tell you what, I expect to meet that lifesaver at his earliest convenience. That's his job. Today, listen to the good news. Listen. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Why do I need a Savior? We sang about it. Before we sang, "Joyful all ye nations, rise," we sang, God and sinners. I need a Savior if I'm a sinner. God and sinners reconciled. Because here is God who is holy. And he's pure, and he's holy in his joy. But here am I, on the other hand, looking for joy in all the wrong things, as we saw in the play, as if the world is made for us, and not we for God. Do we need a Savior? Me? I think it's popular today to think that we're all respectable citizens. We're all on our way to heaven, and when we get to the passport control in heaven, we're going to just hear the words, "Come on, in you go, you're from Belgium. or you're from South Africa, or you're from whatever country you're from. Get in. We just love people like you here. Brothers and sisters, miss this, and you miss Jesus as the joy giver. This baby born for the joy of the nations. The children sang it. Jesus, joy of the nations. This baby will be a man of sorrows. Read about him. The Bible is meant to be read. He will never think an evil thought, unlike you and me. He will never become angry except that which is against his father's will. He will always love others. He will always obey his father. He will always do what the first Adam could not do. And the same Jesus says, this is eternal life. Because where there's going to be real joy, there's got to be life first. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Why has Jesus come? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This may be new to some of you here today, but this Christmas I found myself, joining in with the Christmas songs, but also the verse of a song I learned when I was a child, and it's never really left me, and must have had an impact upon me even as a child, which tells us not to underestimate what the children are taking in. Speaks of why Jesus is the only Savior. There was no other good enough. No other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Do you see? Do you see this evening why Christmas has got to be God's story? God's hope for the helpless. Who can save us from the arrogance that says to God, you gave us the law, but did you really mean what you said? Who can rescue us from swindling ourselves into believing that Jesus came for others, maybe, but I'm fine, thank you. Who can save me from naming my sin as something less than sin? From telling myself that, well, those selfish politicians, those leaders, they need Jesus. But I don't have a greedy heart. I'm not building my own kingdom. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And here we are marveling at the good news of great joy for all people. And it's either true or it's just a story. And it's logical as well as supernatural, because if our greatest need had been just for information, God would have sent us only an educator. And Jesus was a brilliant teacher. If our need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our need was for money, would God not have sent us an economist? And if our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Good news of great joy. There will be for all people. And here is why the message of Christmas and joy can't stop with the birth of Jesus, you see. For Jesus, his ultimate address was not Bethlehem. A couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. It was not Nazareth. It was not Galilee. It was not Bethany, his home from home. It was Calvary, where he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become, can it be, the righteousness of God? Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I read in this week of a lady called Anissa Ayala. She's now 47. There was a time in her life when her parents did not think she would make 17. In 1988, she was 16 and she was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. The doctor said, well, this is it. If she doesn't receive a bone marrow transplant after chemotherapy, she will die. Neither her parents nor her brother were a match. They couldn't find a donor elsewhere. You know what they did? The only thing that was remotely possible. They were both in their 40s, her dad and mom, and they conceived another child. Just maybe the bone marrow would be compatible with Anissa's. Baby Marissa was born. And to their delight, it was determined that this new baby was a compatible donor. Can you imagine the joy when Marissa was 14 months old and they took some of her marrow and gave it to Anissa. And she made a full recovery from the leukemia. Both sisters lead healthy lives today. In a very real sense, Marissa was her sister's savior. Why do you celebrate Christmas? Does it only have a little to do with Jesus? As if Jesus is a kind of tag on, someone you tag on after the lights, or you tag on after the food, or anything else that gives you fun. Baby Marissa was God's gift to the family. So whenever they looked at Anissa, they said, she lives, and we couldn't be happier because her sister has rescued her. But I want to say to you today, dear family and friends, that Christmas is much, much, much bigger. Anissa's parents could give a gift that they hoped could give their other daughter life. No guarantee. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The good news of Christmas is not what we do to celebrate it. I think the play illustrated that very powerfully, in fact. It's not what we hope to do later or tomorrow, if we see tomorrow, right? In the grace of God. It's not whether Christmas gives us fun or stresses us out. It's not in the gifts we get, even in the espresso machine, and I am enjoying it. It's not in the lights. It's not in the people that we hang out with, as much as we love those people. It's not in having an ideal Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas or a warmer Christmas. In the midst of all the celebrations and gift giving, we come to this. Yes, I don't have to be a Christian to get fun out of Christmas. But that can't even begin to compare with knowing why Jesus has come. With understanding that I may be a great sinner, but Jesus is a greater Savior. And if you know the Savior, how can you not rejoice? And I ask you today, I know some of you fairly well, others I may not see again. But I don't think it's by chance that you're here. I'm asking you, do you have this reality in your life as reality? Is this why you're celebrating Christmas? And let me tell you what I'm not asking. I'm not asking, do you believe in a God? I'm not asking, do you think that you're a good person? I'm asking whether you've come to the point of seeing Jesus. Jesus, for all that he is. We talk about grace. We love to do that. Certainly in our church, we talk about grace. But do you see that grace, which is necessary for true joy, is not out of reach? The name of grace is Jesus. Jesus, come down to earth. Good news of great joy there will be for all the peoples. Maybe as you're here today, you say, it sounds good, but why should God care about little me? Or maybe you're here today and you say, there's so much that's broken in my life that maybe I need another life to fix it all. Or maybe you're here today, younger people, and you're saying, I'm too young to need a Savior. Leave it for the older people. Really? Or maybe today you say, a little make-believe is good for the soul. Have you seen Jesus as the one who can reconnect us with the God of joy, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Can you say from the heart, like Chris did in the play, Alias Marco, to me, Jesus is alive, and he makes all the difference for my daily life. So it's not just Merry Christmas, it's Merry Christmas and merrily ever after. We can't outgive God, the giver of joy. But as you leave here today, and if you're saying, I want to know more about this Jesus, I would love to give you a free gift from us, copy of Ultimate Questions. Maybe you are prompted to think, who is this God who sent his son? Who are we? How can I be connected? They're free. And if you say, well, maybe another time, all I want to do is challenge you and say to you, when all is said and done and your celebration is over tomorrow, I want you to reflect. Can there be more to life? Can there be more to life than this? I'm going to pray in a moment and pray with you that we will have a perfect Christmas. But most of all, I'm going to be praying for you as I pray for myself, that we will all be amongst that great number who can say, it really doesn't get better than knowing Jesus. Yes, as a baby he came, but as Savior, Lord, and King. Jesus. Joy not just for Christmas. Jesus. Joy for life. Join with me as we pray. You made us, Lord. You wired us exactly as we are, with the capacity to have pleasure. And we praise you, for you are the great creator of all good pleasure. And so today, we pause and thank you for all that brings us joy in this life, for the gifts that we don't deserve that have been so freely given to us, for family, for friends. We give you thanks today especially for the greatest gift that you could ever have given. Who were we? Who are we that you should send your own son, your beloved son, into the world? And yet you did. And whoever we are today, we want maximum pleasure. We want not only to know about God, we want to know this God of joy who sent his son to die, not for his own sin, for he had none, but to die for our sins, so that we might be reconnected to him and somehow, in a way that's beyond us, join in the joy of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So help us, we pray, to celebrate and to give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. This is a Calypso carol. If you come from that part of the world, we love singing it here. Let's stand and sing.
Sing the glory of this gracious plan. Sing the heaven. see the